We've got a new Lego Bespin set. Also, the holiday special returns. All that and more this week on the Droids. Welcome back to the Droids You're Looking For, a Star Wars podcast alongside Chris and Ryan. I'm Sam. We're mic-less. I mean, we've obviously got our microphones, but we're without Big Mike.
What? I can't hear you. Yeah, you have Sam. No microphone.
Sam's speaking to your mic.
Sorry, I'm muted.
What's this permutation called? Is it the Wild Boys? Chris Pontius?
I think this is the Wild Boys.
The refrain of 2020, you're on mute, as they say. Guys, we're missing the head alpha leader. We're missing Red 5. Yep.
And you guys, if we hadn't told you, man oh man, in a few minutes will you know that we do not have Mike with us today.
I don't think they're going to need a few minutes,
we're missing
Ryan.
Han Solo, make Mike happen too.
Well, there it was.
There it is.
As you can see, Mike.
Make Magic Mike 2 happen.
Make Magic Mike 2 happen. Wait, I think it did happen, didn't it?
It did.
Oh, yeah.
It's really good.
No, make Solo 3 happen. How's that? There we go.
I would love it. Yeah. I'd love it. And guys,
After this, there's going to be a campaign to make Mike Solo, where he has his own podcast.
Wow, that was solid. Yes, thanks. We are without Mike. We're one mic short of a Sabacc deck, but we'll muscle on. I know it's been a few weeks since we've been around. What have you boys been up to?
Well, yeah, we should say we're kind of just checking in on this one. Before we rolled, Chris said, let's just roll and we'll see what happens. So if you're here for we're going to have some Star Wars news. Maybe it was all told there at the top. There's a Bespin Star Wars set.
I would say news. Like let's put big old scarecrows around in a circle. Okay, let's sage the house.
Sam, are you having that crow problem again?
if you come to the Droids You're Looking For a Star Wars podcast saying like, I love the Star Wars news, but I hate their personalities, then this might not be the episode for you.
And if you're saying I hate their personalities and I don't care about the news, this could be also the pod for you.
Yeah, I would assume most people don't like us. Look, we're doing this. We're flying without Red 5, as I said. We're missing Mike, but we're celebrating Mike. Congrats, big guy. This one's for you.
That's an official tip of the cat dedication to Mike.
Just to Mike in general.
Wow.
Yeah. Now, if you're listening to this and your name is Mike, but I think you know, if you don't normally, Mike, this is for you, Mike. If you're listening, if you don't normally host the show with us, that little celebration was not for you.
I just want to remind people that
here's
this is
a long distance dedication.
I just
to a little boy who had a dream.
I just want to remind people that this is a free podcast, so you can't ask for anything back. But you
go listen to our episode 3 review.
Yeah, we have some good ones.
This is not the episode we're going to be pitching the Patreon.
Yeah, if you do exactly, this is not premium content, but maybe. If you do want to let us know how we're doing, please reach out to us, droidspod@gmail.com, @droidspod on Instagram, @droidspod on Twitter, and you can go to youtube.com/thedroidsyourelookingforpodcast or search for that, and you'll find a great playthrough of Jedi, The Fallen Order that Ryan's gone through, as well as some other content. We've done a few live streams of the episodes with commentaries. You can find those there. Yeah. Reach out, let us know what you think. I know it's been a couple weeks and we've come back and this is all you've got.
Here's the thing, we could prepare
a little better.
Right, so, well, here's the thing. There's not a lot of Star Wars news. As people know, things are going on in the world. If you don't know that, this is not the place to find out. But here it is. Things are strange out there. There's not a lot of Star Wars news. However, we like doing the pod. Now, you could be saying, Ryan, I have friends that I like talking to. It doesn't mean that I put it out on a podcast stream, to which I say, who says you shouldn't?
Well,
the only thing between us and you is, you know, a mid-budget microphone. You could be talking to your friends on the internet, too. We enjoy doing this. So hopefully that charm comes through, that we're just a bunch of friends who like talking to each other. And sometimes it's about Star Wars. Today, maybe not. But we're going to try.
Well, we're going to cover all the news that's out there. And if you guys...
This will be our longest episode.
If you're interested in following what's going on in Star Wars,
top 1,000 Star Wars characters.
The big thing that's probably on everybody's mind right now is what's happening with Lego.
Honestly, I think it should be. Lego is a perfect quarantine activity.
I tried to swallow the S. I started saying Legos, and like it started coming out, and then I tried to muffle it, and Ryan picked up on it. So thanks. But like, you're right to do it. You know. But.
Right. I picked up my first Star Wars Lego set this past week. I'm going to be doing it on stream.
Oh.
Twitch.tv/copingmechgames, where Chris and I also do that now every Wednesday at 8 p.m., where we play retro games in their common day counterparts.
I thought we weren't plugging things. This is not
We've been in the middle of a Star Wars series, so if you're not enjoying this episode, go watch it. Twitch.tv/copingmechgames.
Free ad space on our least lesson to episode.
Samuel,
ever.
You were on the last episode.
Yeah.
I was. It was a blast, guys. We talked Star Wars.
Yeah,
it was so fun. You should check it out.
We've been playing some of the old school games and some of their newer counterparts. It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, this past week we played Force Unleashed and Jedi Power Battles, which was... Chris claims it was unplayable. We don't know if it was a skill problem.
It was like my cat was playing or something. Oh
my God. I don't doubt it. So tell us...
I was going to say a bonus of watching those is you can see what we look like.
Yeah, if you've ever wondered, if you've ever been going through the back catalog, hey, like Little Gray Bunny, if you've been going through the back catalog and you said, what do these guys look like? You can find out.
There you
go. You can find out what three of them look like.
Yeah.
You ever see a picture of you listen to like a morning radio show when you're a kid and you see the picture of the people and you're like, that's not what they are supposed to look like. I often wonder if that's how people feel about us, except I'm pretty sure that the only people who listen to this are people who know us.
I think it's more often a Wizard of Oz situation. Where we're Oz.
Oh, like the like don't peek behind the curtain?
Yeah, no, don't peek behind the curtain, and then you see it, and you're like, wait a second.
Very underwhelming.
It's a newer movie. Check it out if you haven't seen it.
So
look, Star Wars is very Wizard of Oz.
That is true.
There's a lot, they basically go undercover as Winkies.
Here's some Star Wars news.
Let's hear
In quarantine, I finally watched The Hidden Fortress, the Kurosawa movie that Star Wars is largely based upon.
Yes.
Ooh,
and I'll tell you what.
Do tell.
That movie owns. It's awesome.
Is that an
official
tip?
It is like Star Wars so was based on it that someone should consider suing. My dog is gonna sue.
Wow.
I think I was gonna say.
And I highly recommended it. I watched it on the Criterion Channel. It was great.
Must be nice.
This Akira Kurosawa, you know, who knew? What a great filmmaker. And man, the production value is through the roof.
I think I mentioned this on Then and Now when I was on last week. Mm-hmm. And the main game I've been playing recently is The Ghost of Tsushima on PS4.
Yep.
And I've been having a lot of fun with it. It's very much like in the vein of an Assassin's Creed game or kind of like Red Dead in terms of like a free roam world with a lot of like open world mission structure and stuff, with some light like character RPG elements. It's really fun, but it's having the same effect that Red Dead Redemption had on me in terms of like when I was playing that game, I immediately was like, I'm watching every Clint Eastwood and John Wayne movie known to man. Mm-hmm. I'm going back through and watching both True Grits in a week, you know, and everything. And this has had me, I haven't watched anything, but I did pick up, Yojimbo again.
Because
that was one that I saw back in school and I loved it.
Yeah.
And so maybe I'll, not Throne of Blood. Which one did you just say? Hidden Fortress?
Hidden Fortress, yes.
Yeah, so maybe that'll go on the list next.
Yeah.
But it's basically, it's like this game, Ghost of Tsushima, is clearly very derivative of and like attempting to pay homage, you can debate how successfully, to like the films of Akira Kurosawa. And so, ooh, something's beeping. Sorry about that, guys.
And you know, Yojimbo is also a Fistful of Dollars.
Yes, it is. And Last Man Standing with Bruce Willis.
Yeah. How about that?
Another thing I learned while watching it, Toshirô Mifune, Akira Kurosawa is kind of like leading man.
Mm-hmm.
What a hunk.
Also, first of all, total hunk. Also, was supposed to be Darth Vader.
Really? Well, there you go. The universe.
But they were afraid it would draw too much attention to the parallels.
I was
like,
oh,
I'm not sure if that's maybe they might be litigious.
I've never seen that one before. I don't know what that is.
Oh, I had it. Get this, guys. All right, this is coming from HollywoodReporter.com. He turned down the roles both of Obi-Wan and Darth Vader because he was worried it was going to look cheap. That's according to his daughter, Mika.
I mean, wow. I think if you were to go on set at that time and see everything going on.
if you're that guy and you've been in Kurosawa's movies already and you're looking at like, sorry, this like 25-year-old or 30-year-old kid from California is trying to sell me on making it look like we live in an old space village.
And he had a table full of plastic models.
The guy, it's a miracle Alec Guinness like wanted to do it.
We all read his letters. I've read his letters.
Yeah.
It's pretty wild.
Well, you know, money's a hell of a thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. But so this was all, I'm trying to, Lego, what do they got? They got a Bespin set coming out?
It's a 1/6 scale Bespin set. like my brother and myself made in my basement.
It's 1/6 the size of the real Bespin.
Can you imagine how big that thing must be? It's like one of the Lego, like I don't know the name of the series, but it's like very official looking, as like a little placard with it. It's not like your normal play sets.
It looks like Lego like black suits.
Yes, exactly.
Or something. Yes. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It looks like a very high quality build. I'm sure it's extremely limited edition. And I don't know the pricing on it or anything, but it looks pretty cool. It's a pretty fair representation, I think, of the scene.
It looks very
it's
nice.
It's the hand cutting off scene, yes?
Yeah.
It is. Yes. It's the hand cutting off.
Cool.
And the it's the big twist scene.
Yeah. And it looks
that's impossible.
It looks like they give Luke a couple different faces too, which is kind of cool. It looks like they give him the impossible face. And the and just like a straight face.
The impossible face is the face without any meat in it, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's all a dye they add to it later.
They won't tell you what's
because
in it,
it's after his car accident. There was so little meat left.
Oh,
they had to build him a plant based face.
Oh,
The, Mark Hamill and his meatless I'm sorry. Face. Was that too far or too soon?
I don't know.
Jeez.
I'm just thinking about burgers now.
It has a nice little like 40th Empire, like 40th anniversary for Empire, like a Lego plaque that's part of the base that it comes with. It actually looks really nice.
It
I'm
does look.
To
it
get
does
it.
Look
I'm,
very sweet.
I don't want to. I don't want to play this down. It kind of looks like you could put it together in like 15
that's
minutes.
That's the problem with some of these Lego sets is that I'll look at them. I either need the giant one where I'm like, this will take me 2 weeks, or I need like the ones where they're more abstract, so you're like building like a miniature one. It's these in between sets that kind of get me a little bored. But this one I think has a certain like
first of all layer to it. First of all, you're gonna buy this because I lived with you for 6 years and I know that this has your name on it.
This
is exactly the kind of thing you buy. But also like it. Yeah, even if it looks slightly simplistic, you know, they have to strike a balance between like making it something that, you know, fans like us or older fans than us would want to like put on a mantle or a shelf somewhere and like display, but also easy enough that like, you know, Star Wars is for kids. At the end of the day, it's always been for kids.
Yeah, it's
true. Always been that. So like, let's not, you know, it's great that we have the 8,000 piece Millennium Falcon or whatever it is, but like, you know,
you
this
could
is,
tell too
this is
that
serving
it's,
a different
it's
master.
Meant for I think a more adult audience. First off, by the placard, but then also they don't have any of those like cheater pieces where it's like they could have easily like build a piece that is just the shape of one of these beams or something. It's like all pieces.
No,
you can also tell that it's more of an adult piece because of all the nudity,
which I was surprised because that wasn't in the movie. But I kind of get it now. It's a metaphor. I understand.
I'm into it. I gotta say, I'm into it. And they, you know, yeah.
I don't remember all of Cloud City being made of male genitalia.
So if you're listening to the pod, is it true all of our listeners will get the chance at going to the website and seeing it on StarWars.com? Because we're reminding them, you can see the whole thing at StarWars.com.
StarWars.com/news/Empire.
You know, StarWars.com was like one
40.
Of the first websites I've ever gone to.
Yeah, it's like one of those things that when they're like, I remember just being like, I need to go. I wonder if there's a Pokemon.com.
Yeah, exactly. You just go online and you just type in your favorite things. It's very cool. I love the Lego Star Wars thing. I think that we need an era because I think we're going to have some resting time with the movies, I feel, due to just...
Oh, is that what you feel?
That's how I feel.
You feel that way?
It's my opinion, even though they've said it. For a few years, I think we need to kind of embrace the kind of the goofier side of Star Wars for a little bit now. And I love, it kind of goes into our next topic here, is the Lego remake of the Star Wars Christmas special. Or holiday special, I should say.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
Is it a... I think it's a new thing. Well, is it a remake?
I feel like it's in that same spirit. Like the...
Oh, I think it's definitely going to be in the same, like, weirdo, silly spirit. But I don't think
I know we're not journalists, but that's a different way than reporting it as the Lego remake.
Well, I mean, it's being remade with Legos. It's discover the true
Lego.
Meaning. Lego.
People, I'm saying this because I want to be the good guy. The Lego fans out there, they're screaming at their phones.
I said
Lego. Every time you say Legos.
I didn't say Legos. I said Lego.
You said Legos. Roll the tape back.
Roll the tape. Lego. See, there you go. The true meaning. Learn the true meaning of life. It's because I said Lego Star Wars. Does that sound like I said Legos?
I don't want to litigate this
anymore. There you go. All right. Learn the true meaning of Life Day with a festive celebration of the entire Skywalker saga in the charming Lego style, debuting November
17th.
There it
is again, Lego style.
See? See? I hear what you caught. Lego police over here. But it is going to be a reimagined... I don't know what you want to call it. It's just the new holiday special featuring Legos. It's a parody. I have enjoyed all the Lego Star Wars stuff prior to this. I think they've been a lot of fun. They've been very strange.
They're really funny.
There's a weird obsession with a cookie in Han Solo, which I can't understand.
It's probably some TikTok thing or something.
Yeah, I don't understand it. I've seen that a lot. Even like the Han Solo action or Lego figure.
I didn't kill my TikTok.
You think Harrison Ford has heard of TikTok?
I think he's
no.
on it.
Do you think ever, he's ever yeah, he's ever TikToked himself landing on the wrong runway?
It looks like a lot of fun. I'm excited for it.
You could joke about Mark Hamill's meat face, but I can't make a joke about Harrison Ford landing on the runway.
It's just, Ryan, I just like I feel like I had some delicacy to what I said, you know?
Yeah. It's like we all landed on that runway, you know?
Someone's been playing Microsoft Flight Simulator. We've got... It looks like it's all over the place. I'm seeing Finn, Rey. And then the Clone War cast. Lots of different people in this thing. I'm scrolling through it. Looks like it's all over.
I don't even know if we can release this.
I see Chewbacca. Then there's just... No, what threw me off is, like, there's just a guy in a sweater, which I might be assuming is Poe. It's kind of funny.
Do you remember when Harrison Ford, like, crashed his plane when they were making Force Awakens?
Were you bringing it up again?
Yeah, of course.
Yes.
This is real. Someone I know I worked with, they saw him at the coffee shop down the block from our office that morning.
Yeah.
Before that, and they had said loudly, he was in front of them in line, and they said loudly, you know where I always wanted to land a plane? A golf course.
Your friend
he turned
said that,
around. Yeah, and he turned around and he said, me too.
he went,
me too.
Everything was true until the golf course part. They did see him that morning at the coffee shop.
Wow.
Right before.
What did he order?
two steaming hot piles of whoop ass. And a
Chris,
brand,
did you
and
say
a brand muffin?
Chris, Chris, did you say the date that this will be on Disney Plus?
Yes, I did.
August 27th.
November 17th.
Looks like it's out 1978. I think it's out now. November 17th, 2020 on Disney Plus. Did you say 2020 or 2020? I like saying 2020.
Whoa. Man, we're reaching new levels.
Yep. Ray, Finn, Poe, Chewie, Rose, and all your favorite droids from R2-D2 to BB-8 for a joyous feast on Life Day. Nope. The holiday first introduced in 1978. I wonder if the fabled cartoon for Boba Fett will be in it.
I'm curious. Here's what I'm really curious about is like this whole thing that like where, you know, Favreau was like, hey, check it out. You know, we're making the holiday special canon. And Lucas was like, yeah. I don't want that.
Yeah.
Like, does this feel like weird in any way that like Disney is like Disney's doing the right move from a corporate side, right? Where they're saying like, hey,
it's fan service,
you embrace it's fan service and you embrace the franchise and the property warts and all, and you make lemonade out of lemons, right? Is like the idea, and it's like, what better to do with Lego Star Wars than to like turn the holiday on special on its head and make like a good version that's fun.
Yeah.
It's super smart from like a brand and marketing perspective. But there's also this thing where it's like, you bought this from a man who's like,
please stop.
one of the most like cringing, like worst moments of his experience of this franchise was when he licensed it out to a TV network and they did this for real.
Yeah.
It's like, I mean,
I don't think it's fair
God
to call
willing,
John Favreau a TV network.
God willing that
he's an empire.
You know, George Lucas will be with us, you know, for a long time yet to come. But like, this is the kind of thing that I feel like you do in like 30 years, you know, or something.
Sam, you know,
is this going to be like his Go Set a Watchman, where they're like, I'm not sure if George was like really aware of this.
You guys know he's coming back though. He's now the head of Lucasfilm.
This is on Cosmic Book News.
Cosmic Book News. They broke the story first. No, I think it's fun. I get it though. Yeah, it's like, this is the thing he hated, but it's the thing he always kind of kept secret. I think
maybe they're trying to force George into like lightening up about it. Yeah, you know, maybe it's all for him.
Hey, if he can make Star Wars Family Guy, I think this is way more fine than than that.
I don't think he made that.
Well, I mean, if he was cool with it, he had to. I know who makes Family Guy.
Well, I heard this. I listened to a podcast recently with Ahmed Best where he was saying that he did a Robot Chicken episode, and I think it was maybe related to the holiday special,
okay,
or something. But he did a Robot Chicken, and they like did the whole thing and got it all ready, and then like Disney like stopped it.
Right.
You know, and he was like, yeah, we could never release it because it didn't like pass muster or whatever. So there's clearly some thought and certain things they're leaning into and certain things they're not. Yeah. Like, I don't I don't think we'll ever see like Blue Harvest on Disney Plus.
I agree with that, but I do think we will probably get a Lego parody series of all the movies.
God, I hope.
Every Lego thing I've seen is so funny.
Except the Lego thing that ruined the ending of Revenge of the Sith. For
right.
That wasn't funny. Although it was kind of funny the way they animated it.
I mean, it's funny now.
The little Lego buddy split in half. It was pretty funny. but,
so,
yeah, that'll be fun. I'm excited for that. I mean, that's good Star Wars news.
I thought of something Star Wars related.
Yeah.
That I've been doing. So I've been reading the book Master and Apprentice, which is the book about, it's the prequel of the prequels about Obi-Wan and Qui-Gon Jinn.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So I think you guys probably know why I picked it up.
It had that hair on the cover.
It's got my boy.
It's an epic
Qui-Gon on
it's
the
an
cover.
Epic and cover.
I have to say, it's, and no, I certainly don't mean any offense to Claudia Gray, who I'm sure worked very hard, but it's kind of exemplary of like why I think like serialized franchise books based on popular like series don't work. Like, it's really, I don't know if I'll be able to finish it. It's a really bad book, you guys.
Does it make any mention of Qui-Gon having the biggest lightsaber in the business?
No, it's like it's trying to it's basically trying to to sort of start the characters in a different place than where we find them at the beginning of Phantom Menace, and then gradually, clearly, like, bring them to that place. Mm-hmm. So, Obi-Wan is his teenage Padawan. It's right at the beginning. You know, Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan are very not in sync, mm-hmm. as master and apprentice. They don't have a good master and Padawan relationship, and, like, they don't seem to, like, work well together. And it's been several years, and the council offers Qui-Gon a seat on the Jedi Council, which will necessitate he would no longer be able to be, a master to Obi-Wan. And, you know, they've built this whole story around, like, slave ships on a outer rim planet, mm-hmm. and stuff. And it's, I don't know, it just, everything you read in it, it really does feel kind of like...
Did it just come out?
This came out like I think it came out a year ago.
Okay, well, that's, yeah.
Or I mean,
it's not
like,
a part of like the new push.
Sorry,
must be.
It's part of. Well, wait, you guys.
Well,
I think
it's not a part of Project Luminous.
It's not part of Luminous. It is part of like the post Legends era novelizations and stuff. And
so it's currently canon. Cool.
It's a New York Times bestseller. Maybe our friends at Mean Book Club could pick up a copy.
Oh, that would be. I will make this recommendation. Yeah. It truly reads like a first pass.
That's
great. By the way, if people don't know, I think it's been a few episodes, I think, since we've mentioned Mean Book Club, which is a great podcast run by some friends of ours.
We'll be on it.
Four ladies read New York Times bestsellers that don't deserve the acclaim, and they rip them to shreds, and it's very
great.
Very funny.
It's great.
I think the best.
And we've had almost, have we had all of,
I
all
think
of
all
the Mean Book Club on the show?
Almost all of them, yeah.
I think almost all of them, if not all of them, but yeah. We've had a few past guests.
Yeah.
And that's why we've all been on their show.
Not so much.
Let me ask you a question. This is a Star Wars question, because you're talking about a young Padawan.
Yeah, hit me.
And
with
I
it.
Understand that in Empire, I'm not naive here. Like Yoda says, like too old to become.
Oh,
training.
I can answer this.
Is
now.
There an old Pat? You know how like sometimes people go to a UCB 101 class and there's like a 65 year old man.
Yeah, like
there.
What's he doing? He's really
funny. Exactly. And like that's cool. I think it's cool that people do that. But is there a Padawan that's like later in life? You know, they were like it was either this or rip tickets at the movie theater, and like you know I need something to fill my days.
At the space opera
is the answer. So what they actually do is the Jedi most. It's like basically like at birth, Jedi who will become Padawan are like brought to Coruscant and kept in a creche, which is kind of like their
like a nativity set.
It's like a. It's
they
like
play, they played Jesus.
It's like your little school. It's like the school of fish you come up with.
Is it weird?
Oh, like, and Master Anakin, what are we going to do?
Yeah, that's
they,
what I was
they
thinking.
Made a point
that's
the young about...
That's where the younglings go.
There's a character in Master and Apprentice called Rael Averroes, who was Dooku's apprentice prior to Qui-Gon being Dooku's apprentice.
Oh, that's right. So Dooku would probably be in this book.
Dooku is... So far, he's not in the book. He may. I'm about 30% into the book, according to my Kindle. But there is a book that precedes this about Dooku leaving the Jedi Council and the Jedi Order, and he goes to become a count on some planet way out there. And so he's basically like a ruler of a planet. How he became Count Dooku.
True or false? The name of that book is Dooku Doodoo.
True. And
Dooku,
true,
I hardly know Ku.
True. Too true.
Too true. Dooku.
But, you know, they've set it up where and Averroes was someone who as Dooku's previous apprentice, Averroes was brought to Coruscant at like age 3.
Okay.
And therefore had memories, like very faint memories of his home planet, and he was deemed like too much of a rebel and too old because having a tie to a place other than Coruscant and the Jedi Order, like, makes them too emotionally compromised to be, like, truly in touch with the Force or something.
So it's dark.
That's kind of weird.
It's real dark and dumb.
Do you think that the book is trying to... I feel like with a lot of stuff now, they're trying to fill in some, like, story points or building something or making a reasoning for something that wasn't apparent before. Do you think that this book is doing that, or is it kind of just off in its own world?
I do think it's doing that, although I don't think that the book was written as any kind of, like, retcon or to correct or improve things. I think what they did was... I just think this is, again, no offense to...
Yeah.
Look, they got me to buy it, and because it's characters I like. But the thing is, it's low-hanging fruit. They said, okay, there's two popular characters, and there's a history before... We go
and
back
gonna
to
bring
before
one
that
back,
movie...
Yeah.
And we're gonna see, you know, fill in the gaps. And so they just pluck lines out of the movie. Oh, but Master, you turned down a seat on the council.
Yeah.
And it's like, clearly we're working up to Obi-Wan or to Qui-Gon
turning down the seat on
the council.
It is a bridge to the world that the New Republic thing is leaning towards. So, like, I guess you can have your hook there,
we'll see. Look, there's a world in which Project Luminous falls very much in, like, from a story group perspective with what this book did.
Sure.
And maybe that would be cool. This book just feels like it honestly feels rushed. It feels like a first draft in a lot of the paragraphs. It's just like, oh boy.
I think the Star Wars books, a friend of the pod, Tony, gave me, donated to me a lot of the old Star Wars books that he's read. I feel like it's just a different world.
Those
Star
are the ones
Wars
that
fan.
He donated to you. He said, bring these to the children's library. And you said, donate it.
I said, don't worry, I got you. Wink, wink. And then the kids never got the books, the younglings. But I feel like it's a world that you have to, like, be in, and then each book you, like, subsequently enjoy more and more, as opposed to, like, kind of jumping in after the fact. I don't know. I feel like you need to start at the beginning of those books, and then it kind of establishes, like, all right, here's the book universe.
I mean, no one's ever
my favorite books are The Goldfinch, Lord of the Flies, and Splinter of the Mind's Eye.
And the problem is, like, I did read the Thrawn trilogy from Timothy Zahn, and, like, there were some clunky bits where it's, like, clearly, you know, he was working from a story structure and then threw in, you know, lines here and there for a little bit of, you know, Star Wars color, you know, of like a planet name or a species or something that, you know, we would recognize as readers. That kind of shit, like, drives me nuts. But, like, this is, like, only that stuff. And it's just, there's no voice to, like, Obi-Wan and Qui-Gon don't sound unique or like themselves. It jumps between, like, it's exposition via dialogue or exposition via, like, a thought that then is repeated in dialogue moments later. You know, it's like,
oh, Cadet Pneumonia, it'd be a terrible place to have business.
Honestly, it's like, it's not far off from that kind of stuff, man. It's rough. And, like, they're setting up, like, basically all the people that seem to, like, you know, Yoda and Qui-Gon seem to have, like, respect for each other. Well, in this book, like, Qui-Gon is doubtful that Yoda trusts him, you know, and, like, Obi-Wan and Qui-Gon don't work well together, and they're a mismatched pair, and Qui-Gon is looking forward to joining the council because it will, like, relieve him of this, like, failure. You know, it's like,
I get,
what?
Yeah, there's some things in, even, like, in the prequels where, like, you read about it, where it's just, like, Anakin super rebellious, and then, like, you watch the movie and you're like, he doesn't seem that rebellious, they seem like they're buds. Like, I feel like sometimes some of that stuff gets, like, lost in translation, but then when you read it written down, it's, like, very deliberate and you're like, it doesn't seem like that's not the case.
This is all by way of saying
I am trying to
quench my Star Wars thirst with some other materials, some other media out there.
Hey.
I did truly enjoy the Thrawn trilogy.
That's
so
great.
If you haven't read that, I'd recommend it to our listeners. I think Timothy Zahn has had a few more books come out since I just read the first three, like the three in that trilogy.
They brought him back recently
I think he came out with a book recently. I'm inclined to say, if you've never read something and you're, like, trying to decide, I haven't read the new book, but I'd be like, eh, it's probably better than what I'm reading right now. But you know, it's fun. Hey. It's somewhat scratches the itch, but it's not the same as watching the movies. Well, you know.
Hey, I mean, that's what we do as Star Wars fans, though. We're looking to scratch that itch.
He just Timothy Zahn just wrote in 2013. He wrote Scoundrels, which is a story about Lando, Chewie, and Han.
Is this real?
Saying, yeah.
Wow. So
I've been saying that's what that's what they should have called
it.
So
Ryan,
forever.
When did you first say that?
He also
and
did.
When did he write that book?
Sorry. He 2013. Must have been cryptomnesia on my part. He wrote a Thrawn trilogy, but from 2017 to 2019. That's now like the canon of the Thrawn trilogy.
I have two of those books.
Because Thrawn now is canon because he was featured in Rebels also.
Yes, correct.
You're talking about Heir to the Empire, Dark Force Rising, and The Last Command?
No, he wrote Thrawn, Thrawn Alliances, and Thrawn Treason.
Yes.
Oh, so I read the ones the I just said.
Yes.
And I have not read
the
ones
you
just said.
You read the original Thrawn trilogy.
And then,
Which were by many considered to be the unofficial episodes 8, 9, or 7, 8, 9.
Correct. And which are very good. Yeah. And they're not as good as the actual episode 7 and 8, but they are far better than episode 9.
Well, there you go.
Also, there's a graphic novel version of them.
Oh,
that's cool.
Yeah,
So he wrote a new trilogy about Thrawn post-Legends.
Yeah, it was kind of in response. They were since his Thrawn trilogy was declared non-canon, he kind of made a Thrawn trilogy that was canon.
Well, this guy seems to, honestly, he seems to have the voice of Star Wars. He seems to, like, get it and have, like, the right level of sort of, like, allegiance to and like, pedanticness to, like, within the world. But also enough, like, creative impulse that it's, like, I think this guy could write a pretty good book on his own, you know?
Yep.
Like, that's not tied to Star Wars. Like, I think he's, like,
and
probably
he's written many.
Well, and that, you know, so, like, So I buy that, right? Whereas, like, sometimes with these, like, novelization and tie-ins, you're just like, oof, how do we land on this person? And how do we land on this story? Because this doesn't feel like this person would be writing books if they weren't writing this book, you know?
Yeah.
like, this person isn't an author.
Yeah. This guy is very prolific. I'll tell you what.
Well, I'm gonna check out the other Star Wars stuff he's done because those were pretty good, and I read them a while ago.
He also wrote some novelizations of Terminator Salvation.
Yeesh.
Some StarCraft stuff.
Well, now did that have the scene with like walking around in the background?
It's a tell all about when Christian Bale freaked out on Shane the DP for moving a light behind Bryce's head.
Aww.
Love it.
Well, see, we got some Star Wars stuff in there.
I think we really, guys.
Can you believe we've been recording still, for 4 hours?
That's amazing.
If you're still with us right now, go back to the beginning of this episode and ask yourself, did I think they were going to make it?
Hey, we did. It turned into a delightful little book chat. Hey, this is what happens when you say just roll with it.
Oh, boy. Oh, we're never going to live this down.
But if you did enjoy this, please write us droidspod@gmail.com. Follow us on Instagram @droidspod, Twitter @droidspod. Go to Facebook, search the Droid You're Looking For podcast. Go to YouTube, search the Droid You're Looking For podcast. You can look at some of our listen to some of our past episodes there. Also a playthrough and some of our live commentaries. If you ever wanted to see what we look like, that's your opportunity. You can follow Ryan playing games online via Twitch on twitch.tv/copingmechanics. Coping Mech Games. Couldn't get Coping Mechanics?
No, I couldn't.
Yeah, fair. Coping Mech Games, it's the best second option. And then I think that about covers all of our opportunities to talk to us. Oh, if you like this podcast, didn't like this podcast, whatever, rate, like, review us on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever podcasts are distributed. It really helps us and helps get the word out there. It helps you just get some stuff off your chest.
Blow some steam off.
Yeah, really, let us have it.
Yeah?
That's right.
Go on.
Go on. I think that'll do it. Right? Are we good?
Yeah. That'll do it. That'll for the droids we're looking for.
I didn't know. I've
a
never
Star
done
Wars podcast. Annie?
Annie? Oh boy, oh Mike, God. Come back.